This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
As I'm finding that the time available to go through some of these verses is very short, and I'm not getting a chance to talk about what I want to talk about and share with you some of the verses that I think will be helpful for you to follow along when you're listening to the recitation throughout Taraweeh. I'm going to start a little bit early, maybe a minute or two before 8:30. By the end of the month, Isha is going to be 9:45 or something, so I won't be starting 8:30 by then either. I'll be at home at 8:30 at that point, but still, we'll try and make it maybe a little bit more than 30. Yes, and before I start, I've been reminded, please just make sure that you put your shoes in the shoe rack if you came in, especially the younger brothers and sisters. If you've forgotten, just put it up. Just make it easier for the brothers who are working out there to keep it organized, and for the brothers and sisters who come in late and want to pray. Sometimes they're forced to pray in the hallway, and it's not nice for them to have shoes and all that. Yeah, inshallah, we'll remind again before Taraweeh. So I talked a little bit about Surah An-Nisa yesterday. Today, the bulk of Taraweeh will be in Surah An-Nisa. We'll be a little bit of Surah Al-Ma'idah, maybe just a few verses. Tomorrow will be more of Surah Al-Ma'idah, so I'll talk about it a little bit more then. But the continuum that we have within the Sab' al-Tiwal is pretty straightforward. Surah Al-Baqarah tells you your job and what methodology you're going to use to achieve your goal. Surah Ali Imran tells you how to protect it. Surah An-Nisa gives you the values, the background, like what generates the practices, the principles that everything is built upon. Surah Al-Ma'idah gives you the rulings, the covenants, the ahkam that come with it. Surah Al-An'am will talk about something different, and each one will add something to your understanding of Islam and your experience with the deen, that bringing you at the end of Surah At-Tawbah to almost a full completion is all you need, really. The Sab' al-Tiwal, the long seven, have almost everything that you need. The surahs after that are going to be more focused, meaning each cluster of surahs after this long seven are going to have a very specific niche. They're going to be talking about something very subspecialized, let's put it that way, or specialized. But this long seven, just go through all the necessities, all the requirements for us to have a deen that we can practice appropriately and everything that needs to keep it going. So Surah An-Nisa talks about the values, talks about the principles, which is why it has so many. It's called Nisa because one of the main problems that the Arab had at the time was how they treated women and how they viewed women. It was an issue of value. It's not an issue of practice. It's an issue of understanding, of how you perspective, your principles. We can give rulings of what you should do regarding how you see or treat women, but if your value set is not appropriate, then that's not going to change anything. You're going to find ways, even through the existing rulings or the new rulings, to oppress and to mistreat. We're not going to get anywhere. So that's why Nisa and Ma'idah are very important. They come one after the other. Nisa brings the values, and then in Ma'idah, in 16 awam or 16 commands, gives the covenants and all the rulings that you're going to need. And if you understand them that way, when you recite them, they're really straightforward. Like, both surahs are quite easy to understand. So we'll start, inshallah, with ayah number 56 from Surah An-Nisa, if you don't mind. Go ahead.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. إن الذين كفروا بآياتنا سوف نصليهم نارا كلما نضجت جلودهم بدلناهم جلودا غيرها ليذوقوا العذاب إن الله كان عزيزا حكيما.
This ayah in Surah An-Nisa is by far one of the most descriptive verses that talk about punishment on the Day of Judgment. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِنَا سَوْفَ نُصْلِيهِمْ نَارًا. Indeed, those who disbelieve in what we have sent to them, the signs that we have granted and shared with them, سَوْفَ نُصْلِيهِمْ نَارًا, we are going to have them enter unwillingly in a humiliating fashion, a fire. كُلَّمَا نَضِيجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ, every time their skins become crisp from the fire itself. بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا, we replaced their skins that are now burnt with other skins, with new skin. لِيَذُوقُ الْعَذَابِ, so that they may continue to be punished for what they did. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا, indeed Allah has always been and will forever be the unfathomable and the most wise. Out of all the verses that talk about punishment, I find this one to be the heaviest, because it speaks of continuity. It speaks of extreme measures that are taking in Jahannam wal-iyadu billah for those who have deserved to be there, which puts us at that point as Muslims to remind ourselves that Ramadan is the ultimate chance for us to make sure that we are not subjected to this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create you with the destiny of being punished. He destined you to go back to where you belong, to go back to Jannat al-Na'im. But if you fail to fulfill that destiny, for whatever reason, if we fail to do so, and we don't follow the teachings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and we fail to respect and adhere to the commands and to the red lines that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has drawn for us, then this outcome is very possible, and it's very scary. Indeed, those who disbelieve in our signs will be forced into a fire. Every time their skins are crisp, we replace those skins with new ones so that they may continue to be punished, for them to continue to feel the pain of punishment. Indeed, Allah is the unfathomable and He is the most wise. When we listen to these verses, we take them to ourselves, remind ourselves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's warnings are true. They are the truth, they are righteous. These warnings are real. We cannot look at the warnings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and brush them aside and focus on what we want to focus on. We must read these verses with the reverence and respect that they deserve and hold ourselves to that accountability, because there's no guarantee for anyone sitting here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all itq min an-nar, say ameen. But there's no guarantee for any of us that this is not, it's there. The possibility is there. Listen, read the stories of the Sahaba, read the stories of the Salihin. This would keep them up at night. These verses would get them out of their beds in the middle of the night so they would pray. These verses would hold them back from falling into sin. And these are the people who saw their Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, were told by him on different occasions and different ways that I know that inshallah you're going to be from Ahlul Jannah. Imagine being given that guarantee or given some hint from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you're going to be rewarded in the Yawm al-Qiyamah, and they still have the fear of verses like these. They couldn't, Abu Bakr could not go through this ayah when he recited it. He couldn't finish it. He wasn't able to actually recite it. He had to do takbir and go for ruku' before he could do it, radiallahu anhu. Just something to think about. Ayah number 64, whoever has the... Let's go.
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ ولو أنهم إذ ظلموا أنفسهم جاءوك فاستغفروا الله واستغفر لهم الرسول لوجدوا الله توابا رحيما.
This verse is Surah An-Nisa, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. We never sent a prophet except that they were going to be obeyed by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. And had they, when they oppressed themselves or fell into sin or made mistakes or fell short, had they come to you, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوا, came to you, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهِ, and they, in front of you, in your hands, they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam himself asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their forgiveness. لَوَجَدُوا اللَّهَ تَوَّابَ الرَّحِيمَ. They would have found Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who grants repentance and the one who is most merciful, جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ. But in this verse is the status of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being established for us again. That had they made a mistake, what they should have done when they make a mistake, they go to the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam. They come to him. They sit in front of him and in front of his between his hands alaihi salatu wasallam, and allow him to make istighfar for them. And they make istighfar in front of him alaihi salatu wasallam, and Allah, because of that, will forgive them. So whenever you go and perform Umrah and you go and you visit the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam's grave, remember this verse. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. When we have oppressed ourselves, we have mistreated, we have fallen into sin, mistreating ourselves by doing so. When you go to him alayhi salatu wasalam for ziyara, remember this verse. إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ, they came to you. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهُ, and they asked Allah to forgive them. And the وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ, and the Prophet would have done the same for them alayhi salatu wasalam, then Allah would have forgiven everything for them. So the next time you go and you visit him alayhi salatu wasalam, remember this ayah. You come to him alayhi salatu wasalam, and then you ask Allah for forgiveness there. And he will do the same for you alayhi salatu wasalam, and you will find the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will grant you the full repentance, and he will show you the full mercy that you're looking for. And I love this verse because it reminds us of who he is alayhi salatu wasalam in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's do ayah number 78 of Surah An-Nisa. Can we jump to 78?
أينما تكونوا يدرككم الموت ولو كنتم في بروج مشيدة وإن تصبهم حسنة يقولوا هذه من عند الله وإن تصبهم سيئة يقولوا هذه من عندك قل كل من عند الله فما لهؤلاء القوم لا يكادون يفقهون حديثا.
He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, أينما تكونوا, wherever you may be, يدرككم الموت, death will find you. يدرككم, إدراك is to catch up with someone. Someone who's running away or is outside of your eyesight, yudrik, idrak, is to actually catch up with them and catch them. Aynama takunu, wherever you may be in this world, death will find you and catch up with you. Walau kuntum fi burujim mushayyada, even if you surround yourself with full security in high towers where there's no possibility of getting killed by anything. There's no, you're not going to run into an accident, you're fully protected and saved. Death doesn't need a reason. Death just happens. Because the moment we are born, right on your every organ that you've got, there's a stamped expiry date. Everything that is me will work only for a specific period of time, then it'll stop. You live long enough and nothing functions anymore. You live long enough and not one aspect of you will work, which is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls أَرْضَلِ الْعُمُرِ, the worst part of life. The worst part of life, when you're living, but you can't hear properly, you can't see properly, you can't think straight, you can barely move, you can't take care of your basic needs. So wherever you may be, death will catch up to you, even if you've surrounded yourself with all the means to live forever. And that's just a fact. Knowing that, as human beings, knowing that, as Muslims, let's not even go down the road of human beings, we must be in continuous preparation mode for what's coming. I have an issue with how Muslims deal with death. I almost feel that because we're Muslim, because you have an explanation of it, we don't spend enough time thinking about it. So we almost end up numb, or we end up unprepared, because Islam talked about death, explained it well in the Quran. So we already have an explanation that exists, so we shelf it. And then we don't actually take time to accept our own mortality. And I see this too often, not to ring a little bit of a, sound the alarm a little bit on it. I find people who have no faith at all to be much more accepting of death than people who are religious. I don't have documented data on this, but I deal with this on a daily basis. I tell people they're gonna die every day. I have to sit in front of them and tell them, this is how much we think you have. So get your affairs in order and make sure. And I find, and the reason is, this is why I think it is. Because people who don't have faith have to have some understanding of death. Like, they're forced to think about it. They don't believe in anything, but they know they're going to die, so they have to wrap their heads around their own mortality. So they spend a significant amount of time figuring out how they're going to accept death. And Muslims, on the other hand, because it's all explained in the deen, we shelf it. Like, we just put it aside. It turns into a little bit of a morphine shot or something. We use the deen just not to think about what we have to think about, because Allah explained it all, so it's already there. We know what's coming next. No, as a Muslim, you have to spend the equal amount of time wrapping your head around death. Every human being has to do that. Death is the one piece of life that we don't accept. Our nafs doesn't accept it. It's not acceptable. Anything is acceptable, but death isn't, because death is turning the lights off. Death is saying you're not around anymore. You're not participating. You're not even sitting in a chair watching somewhere. You're just not there anymore. And the human being doesn't like that, doesn't want to think about that. That's very scary. It's actually very, it's a very annoying and difficult concept. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to you in detail exactly what's going to happen next, doesn't mean that your nafs has accepted that. It just means that the explanation is there. But you have to go and wrap your head around your own mortality and accept it and understand it by engaging, embracing the verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put there and thinking about them long and hard until you're okay with the fact that you're mortal and you're going to die. And at some point, we're going to move on. It may happen in some cases, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you long lives with good health. In some cases, it happens earlier than you hope. Honestly speaking, whenever it happens, it's earlier than you hope. But you have to be able to accept it. And this is just a warning for everyone. Just because we're Muslim, we're supposed to have a better approach to death. I'm not finding it. I am not finding it at all. In my experience, I'm seeing none of it. And it worries me a bit. That maybe we're not really contemplating what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining. It's there, it's in front of us, we know, you know the basics. If I ask any Muslim, do you understand what happens? Yes, they'll walk me through, this is what happens after you die, this is what's going to go on. But do you accept it? Are you okay with it? When you're told the end is near, you're okay? Or you're not, you haven't prepared yourself for that moment? Take some time and wrap your head around it. It's very important. وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ حَسَنَةٌ يَقُولُ هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَقُولُ هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ قُلْ كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. When good things happen, they say it's from Allah. When bad things happen, they accuse the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. These are the kuffar, the mushrikeen, the end of the verse. Say, كُلُّ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ, it's all from Allah. The stuff that you like and the stuff they don't like, all comes from God. Out of adab, you always talk about the good stuff from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The bad stuff, you look at yourself and you wonder if maybe you could do better. فَمَا لِهَؤُلَاءِ الْقَوْمِ لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ حَدِيدًا. What's wrong? What's wrong with these people? It's like they have no comprehension. It's like they don't understand what's being said. They're playing around. They don't accept death. They don't understand where things are coming from in life. They're accusing. They used to treat the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, the Muslims, as if they were bad luck. And any bad thing happening to them, they would blame them. Muslims do that too. Every time something bad happens, we have to look for something to blame. We have to blame something. It must have been hasad. Must have been ayn. Maybe sihr. Maybe jinn. Maybe fula. Maybe it just happened. Huh? How about that? How about maybe it just, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for you. Is there any possibility that this is just a part of your testing? No? It has to be someone else who caused it? Some evil intention, some evil person? Yeah, sheikh. Sometimes things just occur. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that they were going to occur. And they did. And then your job is just to accept them. مَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ, the verse after it, فَمِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ. The good that comes to you is from Allah purely. And the bad that comes to you is something, revise yourself. It's you. Go back and take a look and see maybe where you're, see why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is purifying you by something like this. وَأَرْسَلْنَاكَ لِلنَّاسِ رَسُولًا وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. Okay, let's see if we can do ayah number 94. Someone have 94? No? I'll just do this myself now, moving forward.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا ضربتم في سبيل الله فتبينوا ولا تقولوا لمن ألقى إليكم السلام لست مؤمنا تبتغون عرض الحياة الدنيا فعند الله مغانم كثيرة كذلك كنتم من قبل فمن الله عليكم فتبينوا إن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا.
O those who believe, إذا ضربتم في سبيل الله, if you are on a journey in jihad for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فتبينوا, then be very cautious and be calm and take it easy and give it time. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ أَلْقَى إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامَ لَسْتَ مُؤْمِنًا. Don't say to someone who gives their shahada, who says, لا إله إلا الله, you are not a believer. تَبْتَغُونَ عَرَضَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. You're hoping to get the loot or the bounty from this person. how things happened before is that if you were fighting and you took someone out, then the personal bounty was yours, meaning the sword and the shield, that was yours. And that was an incentive for people to hold their ground. So what happened was, it happened a few times, where the Muslims were fighting, and then in the midst of the battle, just as the Muslim with the sword is about to take the person out, like after maybe a duel that went on for 15 minutes, when the person's on their back, they say, La ilaha illallah. And the guy's like, La, bro, like you could have done, we're not doing this. And he just chops his head off. And then it's happened once and twice, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam got very upset, because Usama radiallahu anhu actually came and talked about it, because it happened to him. It was like a half an hour fight, and then as I was about to end it, he said it, I didn't believe him. فَقَالَ أَقَتَلْتَهُ وَقَدْ قَالَهَا. And you killed him, and he said it. He said, Ya Rasulullah, أَقَتَلْتَهُ وَقَدْ قَالَهَا. He had said it, and you did it. يَقُولُ أُسَامَةَ فَتَمَنَّيْتُ لَوْ أَسْلَمْتُ يَوْمَهَا. I wish that I had accepted Islam that day, because Islam يَجُبُّ مَا قَبْلَهُ, because Islam forgives everything before. I wish that I had accepted Islam then, because I could see in the eyes of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, I wasn't being forgiven for this. That's not why I'm telling you this verse. The reason I wanted to read this verse is the last piece of the verse. This is what he says. كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُ. You can take this verse and you can write it down and you can put it, hang it on your wall somewhere. كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُم مِّن قَبْلُ فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. You see, you were just like them one day before, but Allah granted you the gift of guidance. فَتَبَيَّنُوا. So take it easy. Be calm. Be merciful. Be gentle. You were once like them. كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُم مِّن قَبْلِ. You were just like them. The only difference between you and them is that Allah مَنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He bestowed His blessing of guidance upon you before He bestowed it upon them. That's it. Every person you look at and you don't like the way they're behaving, every person that you, every sinner, every person who's far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everyone who's behaving in ways that you have problem with, that you take issue with, recite this verse to yourself. كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُم مِّن قَبْلِ. You were just like them one day. You're telling me you were never like that ever. Your trajectory of your faith has been on an uphill from the moment you were born. It's just been getting better every day. You've done nothing but adhere to the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all throughout your life, with very few mistakes. It's kept on getting better. Or has it been a roller coaster of up and down, and the graph is a big mess if you were to go back and zoom out and look at it? And if it is, كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُم مِّن قَبْلِ is what Allah is saying. You were just like them before. فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed His bounty upon you, and He granted you guidance, and now your heart is connected to Him, and now you know what is right and what is wrong, and you found your way back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَتَبَيَّنُوا. So just take it easy. Take it easy. Why are you so quick to take someone out? Why are you so quick to judge someone? Why are you so quick to call someone this and call someone that? Were you not like them just a while ago? If we just rewind, go back a little bit, you weren't like that. Would you want people to treat you like that when you were in that position? Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you the blessing of da'wah, of hidayah. This verse is beautiful. What makes it more beautiful that exists, like this phrase that I explained to you, what makes it more beautiful is that it's in a verse talking about combat. In combat, Allah is telling them this. Not in day-to-day dealings. No, in combat. In the middle of a war, when your life is on the, at any moment you can die. At that moment, you have to remember this verse. كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُم مِّن قَبْلِ. The person you're fighting, your enemy in battle, you're a Muslim, your enemy in battle, you were like that one day. You were just as lost as they were. فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. But you're Muslim because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you this blessing. فَتَبَيُّ. Be patient, be calm, take it easy, be tender. You don't know, maybe. You never know when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to grant someone guidance. It happens like that. So what happened in the middle of war? So what? So what happened just before you pushed the sword in and got all the bounty? So what happened then? So what? Who's to say when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants someone guiding? But it seems like I don't care what it seems like to you. If they're saying la ilaha illallah, then what difference is there between you and them? The timing, just because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was generous with you and allowed you to say it before, and you said it a little bit earlier, suddenly you're going to judge the person who hasn't said that. So, in war, tell me, give me a faith, I dare you. Give me a book of, give me scripture that says something like that. I go look for it. I dare you. Find me a book that has a value in it like that. To tell the person in war. كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. You were like that before. Take it easy. What you have is the gift of Allah. There's nothing. You did nothing to deserve this. None of us did. Imagine outside of war. Oh, how we have treated one another. Oh, how we judge people. Oh, how we mistreat each other. Ya Latif. Just recite that verse to yourself. كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ. I was like that. We were all. The only reason we sit here today is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved us time after time, bailed us out time after time from moments where we were going to get completely lost. All it takes is one bad decision and you'd be in a completely different place. And every time you came close to it, He bailed you out subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now that you're here, now that you are where you want to be, what are you going to do towards those who aren't? You just recite this ayah. كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ فَتَبَيَّنُ. Okay. Yeah, how many more minutes? You have 10 minutes? You have 10 minutes. I can't tell the... Okay, let's do ayah number 135 because I don't have enough time. Anyone do 135?
يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين بالقسط شهداء لله ولو على أنفسكم أو الوالدين والأقربين إن يكن غنيا أو فقيرا فالله أولى بهما فلا تتبعوا الهوى أن تعدلوا وإن تلووا أو تعرضوا فإن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا.
Oh, those who believe, and this verse has a sister verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah, that just one word difference. That one word difference explains actually the theme of both surahs. يا الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين بالقسط شهداء لله. Be advocates of justice. Be people who advocate for justice, who stand by justice, who represent righteousness. شهداء قوامين بالقسط شهداء لله. Bearing witness for the sake of Allah. ولو على أنفسكم. Even if that means you bear witness against yourself. Even if it means you incriminate yourself because you're being asked that you do something and you have to say yes if you did it, and you have to be honest. ولو على أنفسكم أو الوالدين, or against your parents. والأقربين, and your relatives. إن يكن غنيا أو فقيرا فالله أولى بهما. Don't worry about whether the person that you love, yourself or your parents or your relatives, are rich or poor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of everybody. فالله أولى بهما. فلا تتبعوا الهوى أن تعدلوا. Don't follow your whims and desires and then move away from justice and move away from righteousness. وَإِن تَلْوُوا أَوْ تُعْرِضُوا. But if you do, you turn your head away and you walk in the direction that is wrong. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا. He knows subhanahu wa ta'ala exactly what you did. This is the value in Surah Al-Nisa. Surah Al-Ma'idah will have a similar verse, but it'll talk about the practice. Here's talking about the value. What is the value? You are an advocate for justice. You stand by righteousness. Even if that means it's going to harm you or your parents or your loved ones. It doesn't matter. I'll give you this example. As well as horrific, I hate giving it. I'm going to give it anyways. Imagine, this is inshallah something none of us will ever experience. Allahumma ameen. Inshallah, we'll never experience this. But just imagine this. Imagine you're standing at a traffic light and a car that's over the speed limit goes to a red light and it hits someone, harming them or killing them. And the car keeps on going. The only witness, no cameras, the only witness is you. What you notice is the car belongs to one of your parents or one of your siblings. And you see them behind the wheel. And then you're asked to testify. What do you do? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never put you in a situation like this. What do you do? You saw it with your own eyes, they ran the red light, they hit the person, and they kept on going. What do you do? If there's any doubt in your heart that you will say the truth, then you have not fully embraced the values of Islam yet. If there's any hesitation inside of you, I will do the right thing, obviously. Obviously, I'm going to do the right thing. Obviously, because I'm an advocate of justice for all, for myself and for others. I'm not just an advocate for justice for myself. And if it's affecting someone else, then I'll do the wrong thing. كونوا قوامين بالقسط شهداء لله ولو على أنفسكم أو الوالدين والأقربين. He specifies, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this verse, not even requiring me to give you this horrible example, that if you have to bear witness against your parents, then you will do it. They did studies on this, outside of this verse, not necessarily about this verse, but they do studies about these things all the time in the world of psychology. And very few people are willing to say yes to any of these questions. Very few. Very few are willing to say, yeah, no, I'd totally do it. Everyone will start to squirm. Well, maybe I can just plead the fifth, or maybe they weren't doing it. I could say I was doing it, and then I'll go to jail. Yeah, Aini, what happened? Your loved one hit someone, you saw it. It's very simple. Why are we going down this route of why are you playing around? Why are you playing around? You wouldn't be okay if that happened to you. Like if the person who was, if you just switch around, just switch the scenario. Just put the person who was hit in, behind the wheel and put your loved one on the ground. And tell me, how would you respond then? Would you be waiting for someone to come and ask you for your testimony, or would you go offer it yourself? If there's a big difference in how you'd react in both situations, then you're not really an advocate of justice, are you? And we don't really believe in justice, we just believe in self-interest. For as long as, we believe in justice for as long as it serves our self-interest. And when it doesn't, I don't know, let the someone else. فَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا الْهَوَىٰ أَن تَعْدِلُوا وَإِن تَلْوُوا أَوْ تُعْرِضُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا. This verse is one of the most amazing pieces of literature that exist within Holy Scripture. I do not believe that there's an ayah similar to this anywhere that looks at the human being, looks not into the eyes of the human being, but down into the soul of the human being, and tells him, you are required to be an advocate of justice, of qist, of adl, of haqq. You have to stand by it. And if that means that you have to bear witness against all that is valuable to you, at the end, all we care about is protecting ourselves, our family, our children, our loved ones. That's what we care about. Those are the people we worry about. Those are the work. And we're stuck. We're stuck with this dilemma, this value-based dilemma that shouldn't exist. It shouldn't be there. Remember what he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, when they came asking him, how about you give this guy a pass? He stole, but he didn't mean it. And he said, if Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, stole, I would have taken her hand off. My daughter did it. She would lose her hand. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's not willing to look for ways out. He's not willing to look for shortcuts for himself and his family, alayhi salatu wasalam. Because the clarity of this value is beyond discussion or conversation or disagreement or dispute. He doesn't dispute this, alayhi salatu wasalam. It's obvious. We stand by what is right. Sometimes, if we always stand by what is right, it serves everybody well. If you only stand by what is right when it serves you, then that's basically, that is the definition of corruption. I'm sorry, that is what corruption is. When he says, فَاسْتَقِيمُ, walk the uncorruptible path, if you're not able to embrace this value, then you haven't done it yet. Just because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was graceful and gracious enough not to put you in a position where you had to do it, doesn't mean that you've embraced the value. That's why you have to think about this. Again, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never put you in a position where you have to testify against anyone you love. But the value has to be crystal clear. The value has to be undebatable. Of course I'll say what is right, of course. كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطَ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Do not follow the whims and desires and then go off from what righteousness and justice is. And if you do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I find the scariest verses are the ones that don't have a punishment, where he just says, I saw it. Where he just says, I saw that. It doesn't say anything. The ones that have punishment, at least it's calculable. It's tangible. He tells, this is what's going to happen. Okay. When he doesn't, he says, I watched it. Then who knows what's coming next? Who knows? I hope that was a benefit. Subhanallah, bihamdika, la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullahu khairan, barakallahu fikum. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Allah. الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن